You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Man, I went to go see this film, Widows, and I was all excited. And then in the end, I'm like, I don't understand. Where was Natasha Romanoff?
I spent the whole movie
going like,
not the Black Widows one-off you were hoping for.
No, it was not. I mean, we have to wait too long between Marvel films. It's not fair. I thought they snuck one in there. They're like, oh, Steve McQueen?
Captain Marvel. Sorry.
Yeah. Only they replaced it. They replaced the role with Viola Davis, which is still pretty fucking cool.
Which is pretty cool. I would watch a Black Widow like reboot with Viola Davis playing the lead role.
Especially since she got jacked for this
so
movie.
Buff.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Oh, really? So buff.
You didn't notice her?
No, she had some
her
guns.
Muscles glistening in those tank tops?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it takes some upper body strength to haul all those bags of money, as the movie demonstrated.
Well, we are reviewing Widows, the new film by Steve McQueen, and I am Chris.
Kim.
Marco.
Frank.
And Alan.
Wow, I feel like we're a Benetton ad. This is insane. So this is actually a remake, I believe, or a movie adaptation of a ITV series of the same name.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Which was a British show, which doesn't surprise me because watching this the whole time, and Alan and I were talking about this, it really does kind of feel like it was something that was originally conceived of as a television series as opposed to a film.
It could have had more room to breathe. And it felt novelistic in a way. I felt like, you know, this had been boiled down from something bigger.
But yeah. They didn't lose out any of the good parts. It was like how you boil down a soup until it has, like, this richness. I felt the movie had a lot of nice, rich elements to it.
And well, you knew what it was doing. You knew where it was going. And it was taking its time.
It's a nice reduction.
In a good way.
And does as well as you said. It has that novelistic feel. Well, it was co-written by Steve McQueen and Gillian Flynn, who, of course, is famous recently for her books that have been turned into movies, Sharp Objects and Gone Girl. Which, now that I know that, I'm like, oh, I totally see that in here. Now, you can see her part of this film, and you can see Steve McQueen's part of the screenplay.
You totally can. Especially the construction is really when her, like, hand comes into play. Because this is not an easy movie to follow beyond the setup.
Well, the setup, as it is when we start, we see the all-star cast of male actors who are pulling off a heist who all almost immediately get killed.
Yeah.
So you're like, wait, what movie are we fucking watching here? This is weird.
This movie is called Widows and it means business.
You're just like there's Liam Neeson. Oh, of course, he'll be the lead of this action movie. John Bernthal, Garrett Dillahunt. You're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be and they're all dead with a heist that went wrong. And immediately goes to their significant others, and in the wake of all of this, quite literally wakes at some points. with our main character being Viola Davis, who's playing Veronica Rollins, who was Liam Neeson's wife. And of all these ladies, those being Michelle Rodriguez, Elizabeth Debicki, and was it Cynthia Erivo? Is that the other one? Am I wrong? No, I'm sorry. No. Carrie Coon is in there. They have this. All right, so I'm trying to think about how best to explain this. Basically, there's this election going on for Alderman, which doesn't seem like the world's biggest deal, but it's for a very poor area of Chicago. Colin Farrell plays Jack Mulligan, who's a rich white politician whose family has held this position for generations, apparently. His dad, in a very funny, constantly over-the-top performance by Robert Duvall. And it's been a runoff election because his dad had a heart attack and needs to retire. And it looks like all that was a little planned as well because his opponent, wants to be the first person to take this position away from the rich white people, a black man, Jamal Manning, played by Brian Tyree Henry, is audibly disappointed that this thing is being as rushed as much as it is. Now, here's the thing. We see from the beginning, Colin Farrell's got his fingers in some dirty pies, but you see, so does Jamal Manning, who is indeed very deeply involved with crime and wants to get out of it by going straight, as it were, and taking over this position. Although his version of straight is basically, I want all the corrupt crime shit that rich white people get by being in politics.
Yeah. He wants to become a different type of criminal.
Daniel Coella, whose name I constantly butcher, He's also in there as Manning's, what's the word? I guess he's his muscle enforcer.
He's his dragon. He's his second
yeah.
in command.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I think, and a terrifying brothers? Figure in this movie.
But, so the connection there between these two stories is ultimately, it turns out that Liam Neeson and his group were ripping off $2 million from Jamal Manning, and they're kind of like, well, wait a minute, we've both known about each other's crime groups for a while. We've never had any issues with each other whatsoever. He knows it would be, why would he possibly go after me? And he's very confused and trying to figure out what the connection is. But either way, he wants his fucking money. And he goes to Viola Davis, said, here's the deal. You got 1 month to get me $2 million. I don't care how you get it. Well, she got left by Liam Neeson a book that was sort of the big plan book, the big elaborate book of blackmail and future plans. And she gets together the other wives and says, you know what? Here's the deal. I've figured out enough to know, even though I have no idea where this place actually is from this fucked up Xerox of blueprints of this thing, but apparently they were going to pull a heist that was worth $5 million. So if you guys, want to help me out here, we can split the remaining three evenly among us. And, you know, we're just, none of them were involved with crime on any level, but I guess the movie's like, well, fuck it. We'll figure it. It's all in the notes. Don't worry about it. Yeah. There's got to be a wiki for this
very
somewhere.
Detailed how-to guy.
And it's them, basically her running against time as more so Daniel Kaluuya, who is obviously kind of a self-starter criminal. Yeah. Like a basically letting him know time's running out. You're going to get us our money. And she going, oh, well, we've got to speed this up. We got to get this along. And nothing is ever, it's all about them sort of trying to figure out how to be criminals, how to make this plan work. And
mourning and trying to,
and mourning and dealing with a lot of other side characters that are in this. Jackie Weaver is in this as well, yes, playing Elizabeth Debicki's mom, who I would have loved to have seen more of, quite frankly, who's so great. And I think if there's a issue that I have with this movie, it's largely just, and to be fair, I really did enjoy this film, but I found it deeply implausible that anyone who had never committed any sort of heist crime before could in a less than a month put together this thing based on what little trickle of information they actually had.
Well, to be honest, the heist wasn't that big. There weren't a bunch of moving parts. It was just breaking.
You need to
it was just breaking
that?
Into a place. Like,
yeah.
It didn't have much security.
It's a house break-in. If it was like, we have to take down this vault in this bank,
that's a larger
leap of faith.
That's for widows, too.
It is still pretty wildly implausible. And you're right, Gillian, I always want to call her Gillian Anderson, Gillian Flynn, it is good at constructing these kind of narratives where, you know, there's a lot of layers, a lot of intrigue. And personally, I love stories that are about that intersection between local politics and organized crime and the ways that those lines frequently blur. Where I think this film actually works, because I think it's actually Gillian Flynn, ultimately, who kind of drops the ball here with these implausibilities. There's a lot of issues I have with this film that could have been resolved with just another draft or two, just to explain some things a little better. Because when you finally find out the plan, you're like, oh, there's so many things that could have gone wrong with this when you realize what's really going on.
Well, there's also a lot of sort of moments where you're like, well, wait, why did you even do any of this when you could have just done this?
You could have done that. Exactly.
Especially after a major plot twist happens at the front end of the third act, basically. Huge plot twist that I admit I suspected was possible, but didn't. By that point, thought wasn't going to happen. And I was like, oh, okay. Man, you should have heard our audience. They were like, oh, damn.
I almost feel like the movie wasn't implausible so much until that plot twist happened. And then it was kind of really confusing why all these things needed to happen to get to where we ended up.
Yeah,
it felt like there was a direct answer to just not have to keep going further with the plan at that point. That would have been
easier.
It's
funny. For me, when that twist happens, is actually when I decided I was all in on this movie.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Because this movie tries to walk the line between like a prestige action drama and kind of pulpy trash.
It does.
And, you know, depending on where you fall, I think it stumbles over the line both ways, and I kind of dig the journey it takes. And when that happened, I was like, oh man, it's happening. I'm all in on this. It's really stupid, but also really fun and also really engaging, and engages you like intellectually as well. It has like bunch of stuff, even if it misses the mark slightly on some of it, I really dig.
I tend to agree with you on that, though. Like, I mean, even though I was like, well, why don't they, you know what? this movie finally sped up. So this is the moment it goes fifth gear.
Now they're really not playing. Now.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, and now we're getting into the stuff where it actually starts getting really exciting, because this movie does take a while to really get around to the action thriller aspects of it.
I really enjoyed the setup. I feel like the first hour was kind of just explaining everyone's motivation. And I know we mentioned how the ladies didn't have any past experience being criminals, but the movie completely shows you why each and every single one of them were driven to crime, which is usually how criminals are made, because they're driven to that point.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed watching all their progress.
But maybe they should have started on a smaller job.
Yeah, rob a McDonald's
or
something.
Just get a little experience under their belt.
Take out an ATM.
Yeah, but where this film actually does, I did kind of make some criticisms there about the construction, but where the film kind of really works for me is thanks to, one, strong performances all across the board.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And Steve McQueen's direction, because not only is the action well staged, but he makes some very interesting camera choices where there are literally times where I'm like, this is a really weird way to frame a shot. Or why are you following this car and I can't see the people who are talking.
Yeah, there's a shot where they've got
dialogue
scene. There's a shot, like a single shot, where they show the Colin Farrell and the actors going from a very poor area of his district, and the camera's mounted on the front of the car, obviously on a slide, because it moves from one side of the car to the other, but you can't see inside the car, but you hear the entire conversation over the 2 minutes it takes for them to get to the poor section of town to the richest section of town.
And when you find where you are at the end of it, you're like, oh, holy shit.
And you realize, that's so powerful. What that shot was, and then you listen to what he's talking about. You know, he's a guy who's like, you know, your typical politician is like, hey, you know, this is my community too, and I want to protect it. And, you know, and then as soon as he gets away from it, he's like, I'm going back to like my nice house in the suburbs. And, you know, actually criticizing like the very, his very constituents.
I mean, it's not even the suburbs. It's just a piece of that same area that has been like drastically gentrified.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's things like that.
It's a good neighborhood.
It's things like that that I think do elevate this film. I think this film is stronger on the subtext than it is on the text. There's a lot going on here under the surface, which is very Steve McQueen, with everything and every character interaction having a deeper meaning sociopolitically, and either terms of sexual dynamics or in terms of racial dynamics, and even in terms of the way the women relate to each other in the film, that I found very interesting. It just sometimes was juxtaposed versus, like I said, the occasionally very silly plot. Right. it was something it didn't quite digest completely smoothly.
Because he's doing all those things you're talking about, but also marrying it to what is a pretty clearly popcorn crowd pleaser type film.
Yeah.
And based on the audience we saw it with, boy, there were some people pleased by this. I think a lot of people are going to have fun with it, so long as they don't think about it too hard. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, I've certainly seen far more implausible stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
So. Yeah, and even movies that I flat out loved. But
yeah, that's kind of one of the things I was saying, like, as far as the implausibility goes. If this was by a director we've never really heard of, and it wasn't shot as well, and the performances weren't quite as good, I think we'd be really digging, like, this pulpy fun movie. But because it does have that shine on it, like the director and the performances, and it looks beautiful, and there's a lot of thought into the subtext, the stuff that we would find fun in like a lesser movie, quote unquote, we find like as fault in this. But I think it's trying to be both, like that mass entertainment, dumb, shut off your brain part of movies that people like to go see, and also engaging you like intellectually on the subtext part.
It's just a rare breed to find.
It's a strange thing. What makes it uncomfortable if, as a viewer, just only because you're not used to seeing movies that are trying to do all the things this movie is doing. And I don't think that's a fault necessarily against the film. It's just hard to know what to make of it.
Well, it makes it more provocative.
Yeah.
You know.
Arguably.
Yeah, no, without question. Because it is two different tones. And you go in with one mindset, and then you find you have to turn on a different one and switch back and forth occasionally. But, I mean, it makes it so exciting. It makes it so interesting, incredibly involving. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a single moment in this film that you're just not with whoever you're watching.
And it draws you into the characters enough that, like I said before, I would have preferred to watch a television series of this where we had more time to spend with characters.
I mean, if that happened, if this was like an 8-part miniseries or something. I mean, the version I saw was, I would love to see that original, because I wonder if the original has all the subtext that this one's working with, or if that's added in, but like, nonetheless, but there's a lot of rich characters and a lot of secondary things that you could see if it was like an 8 hours or even like 6 hours. it would be maybe like it'd be incredible. I think.
By the way, there's even a sequel series to it.
Oh, okay.
called She's Out. That takes place 10 years later.
Oh, wow.
But,
I think it's really interesting that you guys keep using the word fun. Like, you think this movie should have been either completely fun or, like, not fun at all, and it can't be in the middle, as far as that goes. I don't really think this movie was trying to be fun. I think it was trying to be, like, a drama thriller type movie.
Yeah.
And there were definitely no laughs in this. They had no jokes.
There's no moment of levity.
If anything, I think Chris used the word uncomfortable. There were a lot of super uncomfortable moments in this movie.
Very much. Yeah.
So I don't know where you guys are. Maybe it's a heist that you think should be fun?
I think the ending, not to give anything away, I think it's a satisfying ending. There's a moment towards the end of the film where there was a joyous applause in the theater. And I think it might just be because that's how the movie was wrapping up. Like, that's kind of, like, why I think it's fun. Or it's satisfying.
I
mean,
I don't know if it's... Well, I agree. I don't think it's... And I don't really find it fun. I find it exciting.
Exciting, maybe.
Exciting is a better word than fun.
I mean, but I can still say I find that sort of thing fun, even if it's supposed to be upsetting. I'm like, okay. And I did find it fun. I was like, okay, I'm having a good time watching this movie and watching it play out and enjoying, like... The twist and how wacky it is and things like that. I'm like, yeah, I am having fun, but the movie's not trying to be Bad Boys. You know, it's not trying to be a big, silly action film with lots of jokes in it. That's not what they're after here. And I couldn't imagine Steve McQueen making that film. They're after something that indeed is actually trying to say something and entertain their audiences at the same time. And I gotta say, really, I can't say strongly enough how fond I was of a lot of the performances in this film. Mm-hmm. I think Viola Davis, I mean, no big shocker. She's astonishing. Yeah. She's a force of nature, but she is just letting it go here. I mean, she is like really just pumping it out. Even Liam Neeson gets as little as in this movie, has a few really strong acting scenes. And usually Liam just sleepwalks his way through dumb action films.
He's really good at it and handsome as ever.
Elizabeth Debicki is also really great in here.
She's a blonde?
Yeah.
Talk about a tall drink of water right there.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's more water than I can drink. Jesus Christ.
Honestly, I want to give her a burger. But girl was cool. I really liked her character arc.
Yeah.
She had some of the most uncomfortable moments of the movie, and she pulled it off really, really well.
And Daniel Kaluuya proving once again that this guy's got a lot of range. Man, scary psychopath, like a number two guy, he is really good.
His resting bitch face.
His run is insane.
Resting, like, what we call it you call it with somebody else, resting board face.
Yeah.
For me, really.
He's looking at you, thinking about ways he can kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
He's having, from Get Out to Black Panther to this, like, his run the last, 2 years has been...
He's playing taking some really good roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, he obviously has a good agent, no question about it.
This could have been in anybody's hands. This could have been like... And I could see someone like Daniel Kaluuya going, why do I just want to be, you know... angry black dude who's going to kill you because I'm a fucking criminal, you know, and yet he somehow makes that character not only terrified, but a little bit nuanced too. I mean, it's kind of like if Stringer Bell was a hitman. You sense that this guy's actually smart and educated himself and has a lot of opinions on things, but when he has to go into like, well, I gotta kill a bitch mode, he is terrified. Definitely one of the highlights of the movie for me.
I would have said I would have liked to have seen more of Cynthia Erivo, who doesn't really come into the plot till later.
Yeah.
She's definitely feels like someone who's much more explored in the TV show. Right off the bat, you see her. She's a black woman with bleach blonde hair who's like just strapped. Talk about like Viola's in good shape. She's like, oh my God, look at the guns on this lady. Holy shit.
Her introduction confused me at first because I was like, why are we spending all this time with this character we haven't met yet? Like, is this one of the widows that I just forgot? That's what I'm talking about.
It's a little awkward getting into her because
they did still tie her into the main plot by working at that beauty salon where that was being extorted. So they still wrapped it in, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
But for about a minute or two, I'm wondering, who are these new people?
I agree. It's a little clumsy how she gets introduced. Once she's part of the story, you're really glad she is because she's great. But that first couple scenes with her, it's like, wait, it is a little jarring, but...
I felt like I missed a scene somewhere.
I really think that the way this movie is constructed, and right from the get-go, you know this is not going to be a linear way to go. For me, whenever I see something like this, I always think, okay, I'm just going to let whatever's going to happen happen. And I'm not going to try to pace that this goes with this and that goes with that because I'm just going to be frustrated. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to go for whatever ride they're going to give me. And I think that's like probably the best way to approach this kind of
thing. Elizabeth Debicki is great in here, but she has two side characters who are both terrific in this. Lucas Haas plays a... what's the word? Like she works for an escort service briefly at the behest of her really bitchy, terrible mom, played wonderfully by Jackie Weaver. Yes. And both with her relationship with Jackie Weaver and her relationship with Lucas Haas, I feel like never come to an on-screen conclusion that we all would have liked to have seen.
Right.
Yeah, you know, what's her story?
There's never, it never feels like that story really finishes.
Her catharsis kind of happens with another character, which isn't as satisfying. She has a moment,
right,
which kind of wraps up what they're going for with her arc, but it's not as satisfying as a viewer if, like, she could have wrapped it up with one of these other characters that have been so shitty to her.
And then Carrie Coon, who I think is one of the best new actresses working right now. Wow. I mean, my God, she is killing it on TV right now so hard, I don't even know how to start. Just like anything that says Carrie Coon, watch it. She's so good. And I was so excited she was going to be in this. Like, yes, I love her. She is like the new, oh God, what's her name from Blood Simple and all the other Fargo and all. New Frances McDormand. Yeah, she feels like she's the new Frances McDormand. And she's barely in this movie.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed not to get more of her in this.
I think we all were. Especially, I mean, you know, she did such a great job in Gone Girl.
Yeah.
I mean, also for Julianne Fennell. Yeah.
I feel like all the characters, it's like how small the character is, you want more. Even the driver, who was the...
Oh, Garrett good Lord. I love him.
And
I love
him. So good. So many TV shows. He's in the Mindy Project.
Dude, he just like literally this year switched his career from always playing psycho killers or murderers or terrible, terrible people to playing really, really sweet, gentle people with the Fear of the Walking Dead. I was like, it's Garrett. I was watching, I was like, it's Garrett Dillahun. He's going to be a psychopath. And then he's the sweetest character on the whole show.
He's my favorite. Like,
and so now in here, you're like, oh, he's so nice.
Well, he's my favorite part of Raising Hope, that sitcom that was like, oh, just amazing. And he was so funny in that. And then just so this broke my heart.
See, but that's one of the great advantages when you have names like Gillian Flynn and Steve McQueen, because they'll bring people to the table.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll be in a movie. Yeah, I'm only in like a couple scenes. So yeah, fine, I'll do it. And that really elevates this material. You're right, Alan, that we would be viewing this differently if this were like a little modestly budgeted indie with a bunch of unknowns. And, you know, we would probably be, at least I would probably be singing its praises even more because you have such a high caliber here that really salvages a lot of the project. But I also kind of hold those creatives to a little bit of a higher standard. So some of those little things kind of irked me, but overall, it was still pretty good.
Marco, keep going into your final thoughts.
I do feel like I'm winding down on it because I don't want to... I can't go into anything more without spoiling it, and I'm not going to do that. There were a few little things that I think could have been easily resolved, but they weren't. It does do this balancing act of having some kind of social and political statements, but also being a crowd pleaser that you can take your friends to. I think a lot of folks are going to go in and cheer and laugh in all the right places, even though it's not what you would consider to be a typically fun movie. I actually enjoyed it a lot. I'm a sucker for heist films. In spite of all that, the people behind the project really made it work for me. So I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10 bags full of money.
What about you, Alan?
I think I agree with some of the plot mechanics being a little rough in it, but you know, every movie you see requires you to take a leap of faith. Some are a little longer than others, and because so much of this movie worked for me, including the subtext, I am very high on it. I really, really loved it. I want to talk about a scene later in the movie that'll spoil stuff, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait till we're off the podcast, because on the ride over here, I was thinking about it and it made me love it even more. I got out of the movie theater and I was liking it, and then on the way I thought of something and I was like, it went up a whole point for me. So I'm going a solid 9 out of 10 buff Viola Davises.
Kim, what about you?
I think I might like this movie the most out of everybody, and that's probably because I haven't seen a movie that portrays strong women probably not since Black Panther, actually, this well. I feel like they're all dynamic. They're all really, really, really strong characters. I can't really think of any weak characters in this movie, to be fair, but the women I just think are really strong. But they have a lot of moments of being fragile that makes them feel like real characters. So I enjoyed the first hour, you know, hour 20 minutes of setup with them. the movie's called Widows, and I feel like we actually saw what it's like to go through grief, but to still have to keep living, and especially when these big, huge life changes and curveballs are thrown at you, I feel like everything was working out really well. I didn't really see all of these implausibilities. I mean, I personally think they weren't pulling off, you know, Ocean's like 11 caper over here. They were just doing a simple kind of get into a place, you know, steal from this guy.
That's the case. I have to talk to you about something later then. I have this
one. Okay. Point. Some things to do this weekend. But yeah, I didn't think it was that crazy that four really, really desperate, determined women could pull off this job. Especially when some of them have kids, and you know, moms can do anything when they put their mind to it. I'm going to say that I give this movie 8 out of 10 white puppies.
Frank?
You took my rating. I was almost like, oh my god, I'm almost there. I can use the little white dog. Damn it.
That'd be a little dog, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree that, the implausibilities here are so tiny. I mean, they're breaking into a fucking house. I mean, I could do that, and I don't know anything, but I
so you stick around too afterwards.
Yeah, we're
a whole crew.
I will be the only one not to go to jail because I know my limits. But that's simple.
These things are never as easy as you think.
I love stories where characters are so firmly in their own world and they're plucked out of there and they have to sort of like find and hone what instincts they never knew they had in an instant. And this movie does such a great example of like three, really four women who are having to do that while also dealing with some very real issues, the biggest one, of course, being grief. This movie wears its miniseries origins, like, right on its sleeve, and it tries to work with them, and for the most part, it does. It doesn't really drag, but it does venture off into other areas, some of which are more powerful than others, and, you know, that's just the nature of it. But ultimately, I really love that this is a film about women finding their voices, and voices they didn't know they had. And it's well acted, yeah, like you said, across the board. There's not a flawless performance in here, and I think it's because the material is so strong. This really is a great, movie for an actor. The characters are so gray, even the good ones, and that makes it all the more exciting for anyone to watch. It is going to be quote unquote crowd pleaser in the sense that it is very twisty, very edge of your seat, and there's so much devastation in this film as well, but it just makes it all the more hooking. So I got to give this 9 out of 10 drivers that I wish I had, man. Jesus.
I think it's important to note that this is not a film about people being greedy. This is a film about people who are out of options, who are like, who just, this is the, like, I mean, they're doing this to survive, not because they're like, well, this sure would make my life cushier. They're like, well, I don't know what else to do anymore. And I think that level of immediacy transfers through so many things going on under the surface here of the things that Steve McQueen is addressing. And I love that he never once beats you over the head with any of the subtext. It's all there. But he never once feels like he has to put it on the nose where it like just flat out say it. It's like, yeah, if you're a reasonably intelligent person, you see what he's actually talking about here. And I really appreciated that level of it. Yeah, it gets kind of silly at points. Yeah, there's some implausible moments. Nothing to so much pull me out of the movie where I was like, oh, fuck this movie, because everything else about it is really so strong. My biggest complaint about this movie is largely I just felt like it would have been, once again, better as a TV show. I wanted to see more of these characters, and I felt like not everyone got their due in a way where it felt like there were scenes missing, where you were like, and some characters did to the point where you're like, great, I totally get them. Like Viola Davis, you never felt like you were missing anything with her. But like I said, Elizabeth Debicki, you're like, yeah, I felt like there was sequences missing with her character, where you're like, you're trying to give us a bigger, like her to be arguably the second biggest character in this film. And then I kind of felt like her story got kind of just dropped off at the end with the stuff they were building. Yeah. So it's nowhere near a perfect film. But what it is really interesting. I've never quite seen anything like it. I'm still a little don't know entirely what to make of it, but I definitely enjoyed it. And it's a film I will watch again. I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10 Telltale flasks. Oh, no. Can't believe someone didn't take that one before me, quite frankly.
I was stuck on the puppies.
So anyway, about this heist, guys. I mean, you know, job thingy. Don't worry about
it. I'm in.
Errand, yeah.
I don't even know. I just need something.
I'm ready.